It's like the Funkmaster Flex Bomb.
That's like the that when they show that on Terminator 2, the D-Day bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Connor blast those kids off the fence at the playground and shit. And yeah, Sarah Connor's like nightmare dream thing or something. The movie hasn't came out yet, has it? The new one?
Not the new one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Terminator 2 came out in the 90s at this point.
But this is supposed to be after, like, this is supposed to be like if one existed, two existed, and then now this is the new third one.
Oh, cool.
So
I think
I like that.
The continuity apparently is like all fucked up. And it's like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, basically, I think the last movie undid everything after two.
Oh, yeah.
And then this new one is now a continuation of this new timeline they've created or something.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just, it's wild because it's one of those things. I think I remember asking some people like, hey, are people really that invested in the timeline lore or whatever? And I think most of the fans are like, no, they just kind of want to see Terminator shit, you know? So
But I don't mind it if they just say, you know, watch it, but know this. Kind of like Jurassic Park, whatever.
Yes.
It's like, watch this new one, but know that the second one and the third one don't
count. Yeah.
So that's like, all right, cool, I get it, but don't try to like.
I guess it's a new thing now because the new Halloween is basically like, oh, the only Halloween that is a true Halloween now is the one that's in the first one, basically.
Yeah.
And then I know with this has been like a big thing with the Star Wars nerds, where like we've got this new trilogy and this expanded trilogies or whatever series they're doing now. And, you know, we've got this expanded universe that's been notoriously around forever. If you were like a hardcore Star Wars nerd growing up in the 90s or the 2000s, outside of the movies and stuff. Like
including the books, yeah.
The books and
the expanded universe. Episode 6 or whatever. So it's all like,
the
we want.
Yeah, the expanded universe is basically like the comics, the books, you know, anything else. That's all. But now Disney is not basically like, oh, none of that's canon. So
yeah, but the worst part about it, and we're going to talk about this one day, and not trying to get too far into it, because I'm a little passionate about it, is they just steal shit from those books and from those comics. They twist them all around and they ruin them so they will never get to see those things because they already ruined it and fucked it over because they took the good creative writing and turned it into their own thing. And we call those episodes 7, 8, and 9. No, I'm joking. 9. Anyways, that's kind of what it's like. Oh, man, you're robbing everything. Mm-hmm. Now we'll never get to see that. Or they take characters. You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, that's not this guy, though.
So they're cherry picking.
Yeah. It's kind of a trend. That's a whole nother thing.
But this is Three Cool Club. I'm Leroy.
I'm Eleanor.
And I'm Bad Barry.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the third part of a movie in a series, usually in a non-intentional series. Sometimes it is.
Which is your favorite or your worst. Or they made a third one.
Yeah, exactly.
Or... is that straight to... I saw that on the shelf at Blockbuster when I was a kid.
Or the HB...
or
Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video, too.
Or when it was before Hollywood Video, it was like the HB little thing
Video
inside.
Video Central
before.
Dude, as long as you could buy pickles. Big old pickles in a jar.
Yes.
Man, I remember when the Hollywood went out and it was tight because where I live, people aren't looking for the same shit. So it was like, they're just getting all the stuff that just came out. It was already where everything was like a dollar by then.
Yep.
And I just went straight to the foreign film thing. And I just went and grabbed like 30 of them at one time and just took them straight to the front. It was like all this like Dario Argento stuff. And
that's awesome.
All the cool Korean shit. And it was
is funny how like stuff like that would get through the cracks. Like I know Albertsons back when they rented videos, which I mean, and Albertsons even still around anymore. I don't know.
We were just talking about this morning that, you know, they've been turning the one that we used to have in our town into like, it's like a house of games, like gym and shit.
But like now, like Albertsons, it was just, I think back to some of the weirdest stuff I saw as a kid growing up. And it's like, it came from a lot of those places because they were technically kind of mom and poppy little things in grocery stores. And it was just like, whatever was the cheapest probably thing they could buy just to rent, they had available.
Or just like whatever the like, 18, 19 year old manager at the time wanted to see. He was like, okay, we got the Blockbusters. Now let's get the good shit.
Yeah. It's like,
but yeah, so Three Cool Club. Today we're going to be talking about Child's Play 3. 1991's Child's Play 3.
Yes.
Written by Don Mancini. So writer from the first two and then directed by Jack Bender. I don't even recognize that name mm-hmm. at all. But it's got all your favorites. Jack Dorff, of course, still playing Chucky. That's pretty much all he's known for, I think. I think I tried looking up his IMDb and it's like, random shit. And I think it was an episode of Murder, She Wrote and an episode of, what was that? The Crypt Keeper show.
Oh, Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay, this guy doesn't do much other than Chucky. And that's cool. Like, hey, that's your thing.
What's crazy is like, if you look back at Tales from the Crypt now, it seems like a jumping off point for a lot of actors. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Except
yeah,
that's true. For him.
Yeah.
Look at Bag is like got like, I don't know, is like names like that, but like Johnny Billy Depp, Zane. Like people and shit like that. Oh, that's the movie. The show.
Oh, was it the movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
but that shit, is one of my favorite movies. Was it, Devil's Night or whatever?
Yeah.
Man, Devil's Night goes hard. Yes. He's a badass devil dude. Poor Billy Zane though. He's not doing a whole lot of good stuff.
Nope.
Yeah. Most of the stuff that it looks like this Jack Bender guy's directed has mostly been TV. Few episodes of Alec McBeal and The Sopranos, things like that.
The guy who does Chucky's voice?
No, the guy, the director of Jack Bender.
I was like, that's a lot better than I thought he was.
Yeah,
The Sopranos? Damn.
I thought you meant the Alec McBeal, and I was like,
oh no.
Barry's got the whole collection.
I was just trying to imagine, like, you know, the Chucky's character on The Sopranos or whatever, like being a gangster.
Oh, he apparently directed The Midnight Hour, the made for TV movie. From Canada with LeVar Burton. Hold on, I gotta pull up because this is a great. I feel like this is one of those movies that people should see.
Yes,
because it's such a fun Halloween movie.
I've never seen it. I don't think.
Yeah, because it was made for TV. It literally came out on TV only. But I think it was popular enough that they made it. I don't know if maybe at some point they would put out made for TV movies on actual tape for people to watch.
But it's super fun. Like I think it's one of my favorite Halloween time movies.
Yeah.
I think isn't the lady is like descended from a local witch or something, right? Mm-hmm. And some zany stuff happens on Halloween with that and her becoming a witch.
You said it's the same director that did that?
Same director, yeah. I just saw that on IMDb. It's a good time.
I'm about to check it out.
Yeah.
See if it's on Tubi. Yeah.
But that said, so here we are, Child's Play 3. I'm going to quickly sum up Child's Play 1 and 2. As best as I can. And this should be interesting because I think most people our age at least, or maybe a little younger even, or older, have seen one at least, mm-hmm. maybe two, and then we'll find out about three in a second.
I think they've seen it. They don't remember which one they saw.
That's true too. Because I know for sure,
easy to do.
We had a pre-conversation. You were like, I remember this stuff. And you were like thinking it was two. And I was like, no, dude, that was three.
Yeah.
So Child's Play 1, we've got... hold on. Let me pull up the summary because I can't remember his name now for the life of me.
Charles Lee Ray.
Charles Lee Ray.
No. The Lakeshore Strangler.
Charles Lee Ray. Which the thing is like comes up in the first and second one, but never mentioned the third one. I think it's barely mentioned in the second one still. Lakeshore Strangler. Charles Lee Ray on the run for the police at the beginning of the first film. I kind of like this because it's like basically 5 minutes in the movie, he's trying to possess his soul into a doll. Already, and you're like off the riff, you're just gonna do like doll possession with voodoo. That's great. So he's trying to, you know, he's basically on the run from the cops. He knows he's gonna get shot before he gets murked, puts his soul into a doll. Don't know what his plan was exactly, but I guess just to like not be dead. Gets killed.
To kill Eddie.
Yeah, that too. Kill Eddie. Yeah. Gets killed. His body does. His soul is in this doll. And then, of course, I guess it's inanimate for a little bit because he's just like in this doll package and stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. Homeless guy finds it because the whole store goes on fire. Cut to like mom who's trying to buy a kid for her really shitty kid. God damn, this kid is so annoying.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they had just killed the kid, I'd been like, fine, but whatever. Andy. Buys this doll off this homeless dude in a really sketchy scene. It's like, do you really gonna buy this off this guy? But whatever. She's a single mom, struggling, got it. Takes it, and then of course we slowly it comes out like, oh, this doll is actually possessed and like whatever. And this kid's saying this messed up stuff. Doll goes crazy and comes alive in this hilarious scene where the reveal of Chucky to the mom.
He's like,
she's like, say something.
Add the dialogue in there, but it's like, you stupid bitch, you filthy slut. Yeah. Like, damn it, dude.
And then, of course, it's a whole thing where like the doll's killing people and then finds out, oh, he wants to like get back into a body, a human body, but he can't. Finds out, oh shit, he revealed himself to Andy first before anyone else. So he's got to possess Andy, which is kind of like the catalyst that leads everything off into this whole film series. And then of course it fails horribly at trying to possess Andy. It gets like brutally cut up and like blown up and burnt and everything. That like last 15 minutes of that first one was great.
Yes.
Cause
yes,
it's just like, you know, this little doll arm comes out of a vent to choke a dude, a grown man.
Yeah. He dies like three times.
He dies three times. And each time it's kind of like they do a pretty good job of faking you out. Like first one, you're like, okay, it's obviously like he's alive. But the second one, I was like, oh shit. He's still alive. No shit. Cause duh, he's a fucking doll. How do you kill a doll?
Like he's just like a head, isn't he?
He's just a head. He's telling
like
his body.
Telling his body like it's a whole leather entity. He's like, come over here, stupid, or some shit. They just shoot his head or something.
Yeah, they just go nuts with it. And the second one takes place like almost immediately after the first one, where the company's like, oh, we had one that like a kid said was after him or something. It's kind of like, I have a feeling RoboCop must have come out close to this because it kind of has a RoboCop anti-consumerism kind of thing going on where it's like, oh, the company's trying to bury this under the rug kind of thing. And they're like, what is it? It's just one killer doll. Who cares? Kind of thing.
Yeah. They like completely refurbish it. And they're like, see, it's not the doll.
Yeah.
It's
just they literally retake the doll somehow and refurbish it. It like, anyways, becomes possessed again with the spirit of Lee Ray, who I think at this point is like, oh, I've got limited time to get back into that body or something.
Is that the one where they melt it down and then they take this like, I just wanted to show you the one that did kill them people, reconstruct it. But they basically just...
That was the third one.
Okay, we're not talking about that. Okay.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
So we're almost there. But the second one's like that though, right?
Sort of. Yeah, they're kind of like putting it together. Oh, I think the beginning of the first...
Slap a new like face on it. No,
the third one's they get his blood.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the second one is what I'm talking about. The second one, you're right. He's all like, let's take it and rebuild it. I want the boss man to see this thing.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the one that killed all them people or whatever. Look, he's all fixed up now. All right, I don't like it. Throw it away. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
No, it's the two scientist dudes and he... Like hey, it,
they murders. Build it by hand. He's like, come on, man, we don't ever build these by hand. It's gonna take a little bit. He's like, I want it by noon.
They build it.
I want pictures of Spider-Man by noon.
Yeah, and there's this like horrible accident where they both die immediately after fixing him. It's kind
like
of
like the
awesome.
Lights go out and shit.
Yeah, it's like,
Long story short, Andy's now adopted by some like family who, you know, the doll somehow ends up in their possession or like close to them. And then the whole shenanigans happen. I do like the fact that they mentioned the mom went crazy. Obviously the actor who played the mom didn't want to be back. So they're just like, oh yeah, they went crazy and something or other. Cause they saw a killer doll. Mm-hmm. I kind of appreciate that. It's like, okay, cool. Some nice like little consequences to the thing. I'm glad they didn't just recast the mom. I feel like it kind of adds to the story a little bit.
Yeah, I think she's like an actual actor, isn't she?
Yeah, it's like I think they're a legit actor.
Green something.
Yeah, I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah.
But,
which is like a little bit sad because like they put her in an institution apparently because she like corroborates her son's story.
Yeah,
it's
basically.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, then you're like, what's up with the detective? You know, got their back, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, he was there and he lived. Did the other one live? The partner that was like not believing?
He lived.
Yeah, so they're all like, I ain't dealing with this. I'm trying to keep my job, dude.
He's like, whatever. Hey, thin blue line. Yeah, yes. Whatever. So the I guess what would this person be like? The stepsister, adopted stepsister character. It's like a really weird, ambiguous relationship. Where it's like, why would they give a shit about Andy? But I guess it's like a killer doll. Okay, fair. They end up in a toy factory where like Chucky's coming after them. Gets killed in the factory and this great scene where they like he gets like partially melted and all these other arms and shit attached to him
in acid like this is like that's like the highlight of the second movie is like the whole long factory scene where it's just like Chucky chasing them in all this super dangerous equipment and them like trying to kill Chucky in all this super dangerous equipment. Mm-hmm. It's a Chucky factory. So there's all these other Chucky dolls everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah, it's great. And of course gets killed and gets his head blown up with pressured air. And that's
like after he gets like melted into like a little scooter thing and shit with a knife hand that, you know, so he's like a crazy cyborg, like ghetto cyborg thing or whatever, like a Kit Bash toy.
It's just like totally like great. It's awesome. Yeah. So that's the end of two. So now we're at three. Here we are for three club.
And that's where his blood gets melted into the blood.
opens with his blood getting into the whole mixture of everything. Mm-hmm. He's still possessing the doll somehow.
Because they're just like, let's just turn the factory floor back on.
Yeah. What was up with that?
I don't know. Because like, the guy just showed up the next day and started turning the machines on. All the Charles Lee Ray blood getting mixed into a whole new unit here. And then they get that one built.
So Child's Play 3 came out in 91. Child's Play 2 came out the year before, 90.
Wow.
And then the first one. Yeah.
So in 2 came out in 90, and Andy is supposed to be like 10 years old, but by 91, he's supposed to be like 16.
They skip obviously into the future a little bit. And there's little things in the movie where like I was trying to pay attention to like, well, what year is it? They don't explicitly say, but they kind of hint that it's the future a little bit.
Okay.
With like their weird ROTC program that has 16-year-old kids being sergeants or something somehow. Like these kids are all the same age.
I think when they bring up like his past too, they say the amount of years it was.
Yeah, they say say a definitive amount of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think what helps this movie is that it doesn't take place really outdoors much. It mostly is like in the halls of this military base, military camp for kids. So you're not like seeing people on like wristwatches that can like, you know, have TVs on them and stuff. That helps. The original Child's Play came out in 88. So like 2 years before the second one. And of course, at this point, like 3 or 4 years before the first one or the third one, sorry. So they kind of pumped these out pretty quick, I would say, especially when we think about like Scream, where it was like 1, 2, a couple of years later, we get 3. And then Ghoulies, where you've got one, like almost like, well, actually those came out pretty quick. What am I saying? But it kind of shows with those. I think with this one, because this is like a bigger budget franchise, kind of almost on the same level as Scream. Not as big, obviously, but I think over time has become as big. They kind of put these out fairly quickly with fairly big budgets.
Yeah. 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 So let's go over the synopsis from the beginning.
Okay. With three.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got three. Starts out again with, as Barry said, blood ends up in the mixture. For some reason, the factory is like back on. We're, you know, back on the menu. Who knows why? I guess they're just like a couple of kids died. Who cares?
Really just the same as the second one. They don't purposely build him again.
Yeah. That's
they purposely build him. The third one is like, you know, they accidentally put together his pieces again.
Yeah.
Basically just his blood.
Yeah.
His blood means a lot, I guess. So
whatever. We're just going to put it back in the doll. Mm. They restart the factory that's been like at the beginning of the movie covered in dust and spider webs and stuff. Start making toys again. I think it's in Chicago or something. It feels like a big kind of metropolitan, slightly futuristic city. Again, they don't like lean into the future thing really hard. And this guy, like, who has toys or something, he's a big toy manufacturer, gets the Chucky doll back. I can't exactly remember why.
He's like, I think he's the CEO of the toy company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So he's like this big wig that's like pretty evil. Like, I think I remember there's this board meeting and people are like, wait, but children died. Should we be more sensitive? And he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Who cares? More or less.
I want 18,000 units out by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They're all like, hey, just because we're making toys again, here's the first one off the factory floor. Give me that shit. Damn it.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Yes. He takes the first one. Throws it like in his
trunk all fucked up. Wait, was it the second one?
Nah, that's the third one. Third one. Yeah.
Yeah, this third one.
He gets to his crib.
I think that's later that he gets thrown into the trunk.
Yeah. But the whole point is like, yeah, the first two definitely start out kind of the same way where it's like, why would you remake this doll? Well, profit, basically.
Yeah.
So just like these movies. So yeah, Chucky comes back, kills our CEO, says, don't fuck with the Chuck.
Yeah. Don't fuck. That's like the first thing he says. That's
the first thing he says in the movie, which doesn't make sense in the context of the scene, but whatever. It's funny.
He's like, who's Chuck? Why am I dying for whoever Chuck is?
Yeah. And wouldn't he say, don't fuck with Lee? or Ray, or, you know, wouldn't he call himself by his own name?
No, he's all in the Chucky thing.
He's sold. He's bought into Chucky.
Yeah, because later in the thing, like, I don't even know why he even told the dude his name was Charles Lee Ray, because he keeps calling him Charles. He's like, don't call me that. Call me. And it's like, dude, why would you tell him that? You know, if you don't want a kid to repeat something, don't tell a kid. So say Chucky, dude.
We cut to Andy is now, an ROTC kid. He's basically in the military camp now, because, you know, whatever messed up stuff happened to him and dealing with his adopted foster families and what have you. So he's kind of like on the cusp of becoming an adult and being on his own kind of thing in this weird military base. Again, where I said earlier, it's all the kids are the same age, but somehow some of them are sergeants or something. Doesn't make quite any sense, but whatever. It's obviously a military industrial complex commentary, what have you kind of thing going on. So Andy's on this base, whatever, trying to get his life back to normal. Seems like an okay kid for someone who, like, I was annoyed with beginning. At this point, I'm like, okay, he's an all right kid. He's trying to get his life together.
His tragedy shaped him.
Exactly. he's matured, you know, whatever. Introduced to, like, our side characters. One of my favorite characters, not the evil sergeant kid, but the young female identifying other private who's like, what was her name again? You remember what I'm talking about? She, like, stands up for Andy in the beginning of the movie.
She's like the badass of, like,
the badass
of the whole movie.
Again, commentary, because it's women in the military. It was a big thing at the time.
She's like the only one that stands up to old dude.
Yeah, she does all her push-ups.
She's stronger than all them.
And yeah.
I think she even is the one that shoots him or teaches him how to, like, use his firearm and stuff like that. And all that.
So, favorite character, just because I'm like, okay, they made this character just, like, badass just for the sake of you. I mean, they're trying to, like, make a comment about the women in the military, but it's like, whatever. They still made a badass character. Get introduced to our side characters. Chucky ends up in the possession of this young kid who steals him from a pack. Like, Chucky mails himself to Andy on this military base. That is a plot point that happens.
By finding him.
Yeah.
Through, like,
a computer.
He kills, like, that CEO.
He gets on the CEO's, like, MS-DOS.
DOS. And he's all like, I'll just type in Andy.
Pulls out
the types in Andy. Pulls goes, Andy's over here. Here's a picture for him. Here's his address. You know what I mean?
Like, what? Pulls out the tandem, you know, computer machine and is like that. So, finds him that way. Thank God, like, there was no actual, like, you know, Google back then, because he could have found him pretty easy. Just pulled up his phone. Anyways, mails himself. I like it because this kid finds him, and rather than, like, obviously take him to Andy, hauls off with his package because he knows it's a toy.
Tyler.
Opens it. Tyler. That's right. That's the kid's name. Tyler. Opens it up and then pulls out Chucky, and then Chucky's like, what the fuck's going on? Like, who are you? Kind of thing.
You can't tamper with federal mail.
The Lakeshore Strangler, obviously very concerned about.
Aware of his federal crime.
Exactly. He's like, yo, killing is one thing, but mail, that's another.
Don't fuck with mail.
Don't fuck with Chuck and don't fuck with mail. So, and then, of course, decides he's going to try and possess, I guess he tries, he thinks that since he's technically a new doll, he can try and possess Tyler. Doesn't quite get around to it because things end up happening that, like, keep this from happening, basically.
He gets interrupted, but it was working.
That's kind of the new thing. That's what you see different from the first and the second one.
So yeah.
Like, you know what? Fuck Andy, dude. Come on, lay down.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to play hide the soul.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So. And again, keeps getting interrupted, blah, blah. I'm kind of trying to remember now what happened where he's just like, oh, this isn't going to work. Other than
keeps giving him the runaround, like, the whole
something,
time. Like,
yeah.
Tyler just does not get it.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen the first one or the second one to know that nothing hanging out with Chucky and playing them games was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler loves him, still doesn't get it, calls him Charles Lee Ray or whatever.
Yes.
Chucky gets pissed off and he's really just trying to chase him through most of the movie or whatever. And he's over Andy. So.
And luckily, like, Andy figures it out pretty fast. So he keeps trying to interfere and get.
Well, Chucky comes and, like, finds him. Like, he comes and sneaks up on the room. He's like, guess what, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm done with your ass. Basically breaks up with Andy.
Yeah, so it's a breakup.
That's when you have the whole, yeah, Chucky's going to be a bro or whatever, because he said he's going to go in Tyler's body. Yeah. Or
I will add, I'll give him props for not having, even though, you know, Lee Ray is like a terrible murderous person, he won't say the N word. I like that.
That is true.
Not that I'm saying that he should have.
The Lakeshore Strangler will not go even there in the privacy of another white kid.
Yeah.
That's great. In a military base.
I know. It seems like that would just be like, you know, I was like waiting for it. I was like, oh my gosh, here it comes. Nope. Doesn't do it. Doesn't go that. I appreciate that. I'm like, okay, even he's not down with racism.
But he's still trying to close, you know, the loose end at that point. So he's giving him a warning. And he's like, you fucked up. You know what? I don't even want to habitat you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm taking Tyler. So I'm just here to kill you. And then that Sergeant Joker Lips guy comes in, and then he's, you know, I think he takes him. He's like, oh, my niece needs one of these or something like that. And then takes Chucky.
Yeah.
That's how he gets out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then it's like where Ellie's talking about where now he's on the mission to save Tyler, because he just gave up the whole James Bond plot, villain plot before he knew that he was actually going to die.
Right.
And then now he's like, shit, I got to stop him from getting Tyler's body. And then Tyler, like, he's all like super happy. Doesn't know what's going on. He thinks he's playing games and shit like that.
He's like a 6-year-old kid.
So he's like, you're just jealous, you know, and shit like that. Just Charles told me, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. So there's that. Then there's antics ensue. We'll say that.
Yeah.
We get to the part where one of my favorite parts of the whole film, where they're going to have a drill. I'm not sure what they called it. War games kind of scenario, a red team versus blue team. They've all got fake bullets. That's like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Chucky, of course, swaps out one team's bullets with our fake paint pellets with actual bullets.
Yes.
War games happens. One of the kids gets just straight up shot, just like murked right there on the field.
Which is crazy, because out of all of them, I mean, it just shows they're all like terrible shots. Like,
yeah.
There's like 1,000 rounds go off.
Yeah, they are kids.
And
then
like one guy like gets in the middle, and that guy, you know, like lights him up, and like one guy dies until they find out. And then they find out that everyone, I think I saw something that had a kill count. It was only like 8 people that die in this movie, dude.
All right.
That's pretty good for a bunch of teenagers with loaded weapons firing at each other.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a, you know, more modern film. They probably would have upped that a lot. But Chucky reveals himself to all of the ROTC kids as like, oh yeah, I'm a doll, I'm possessed, and blah, blah. Funny, like a hilarious kind of scene, because it's like, yeah, these kids obviously believe he's a possessed doll. Because I guess because they're actual kids and not like adults. Or adults would be rationalizing it. These kids are like, oh shit, it's a possessed doll kind of thing.
Well, like, it's kind of great because during the series of antics that we kind of glossed over, Andy had tried to steal Chucky from the sergeant's room, which after that point, like, all the other kids were like, you're freaking weird. You're 16. You're obsessed with this doll. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, but then aren't they all there? Because there's something wrong.
Right. Hold on.
There it goes.
Oh, that is definitely the wrong sound effect.
I was like, I don't know. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah. That makes more sense.
That's for our ROTC kids who are really upset right now at what you just said.
And like during the war games, like they can't find Andy. He's gone off to find Tyler. They're like, where the fuck is Andy? That weird kid has got to be the one behind the bullets, right? Mm-hmm. Like they kind of blame him. So by the time that Chucky reveals himself, it's kind of great that they're like, oh, okay. They just roll with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? It's like you didn't believe Andy when he told you a while ago, but okay.
Yeah. And at this point in the film, we get to one of the best parts, obviously, the last like 20-ish minutes, I think. And hey, luckily the war games are going on, but it's not too far from a carnival that's also happening in town.
Mm-hmm. I love carnivals in movies, like Ghoulies 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ghoulies. Yeah. And so, you know, Chucky ends up taking Tyler to this carnival to like try and possess him there. Andy, of course, is in pursuit along with Homegirl. And they basically are trying to like,
end up, and they got guns. She's got a gun.
She's got a gun and stuff. They end up in this amazing dark ride that's like looks like it costs millions of dollars to make.
Oh, yeah. It's got like flying shit.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, flying stuff, just all these like sections and levels and whatever. It's like
a whole,
this is a carnival dark ride. Like I've been in a carnival dark ride. Yeah. They're never this elaborate. So this is pretty great. End up in this carnival dark ride at the edge of a cliff, like trying to possess Tyler. of course, Andy's there in time to rescue our homegirl again. Mm-hmm. Great shot. So she's able to take out, like, basically help out from as much as she can from far away.
Well, and she then, gets shot. He's got a gun, too. So Chucky has a gun from the security guard.
That's right. Chucky also has a gun.
Yeah.
That was, I think it's the one part of the kill count there because he kills that security guard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the only person that dies at the carnival, really. And so he kills him, takes the gun from him. Now he's running around with the gun and Tyler. Mm-hmm. And then a girl got a gun. But I don't know from where. Or is that... Wait a minute. Do they both have guns? Or she has a security guard's gun? She got shot, though.
Yeah, she does get shot. That's what I'm saying. Like, she can't... Like, she's not there for the end.
But then gives him the gun that she had.
Maybe that was it.
Gives Andy the gun that she has. Maybe they both have guns.
Either
she
way.
She picked one up at the War Games?
No. She got shot by Chucky.
Shit.
Yeah. Because they were in like the haunted part where, like, you know, he jumped out of a coffin or something and scared her. And then she got shot in the leg. And then she's all badass even then. Gets fucking shot in the leg. It's like, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Here, take the gun. Don't forget how I taught you how to shoot it, son. You know what I mean? It's he's like, okay. You know, like, I don't know if I could do without you, but yeah.
But so anyways, long story short, we got our Tyler, Andy, and Chucky at the edge of a cliff holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And basically, yes, Andy's able to rescue Tyler and save the day and knocks Chucky down to this. Again, this is a dark ride in the carnival, and somehow there's this 50-foot drop from this cliff in there
to a giant fan
that's also gigantic that like chops up Chucky. And I think as he's falling down, he's basically like, I'll be back kind of thing or something like that.
It's not even just like a fan. It's like a fan blade. It's like,
it's like
wig flying everywhere and shoes, laces and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Again, at the bottom of a cliff that you could easily fall down. So whatever. dies. And that's kind of like the end of our film. And as I understand it, as the series goes on, it's like kind of the end of the Andy saga until we get to like, I think one of the newest films where they bring him back.
Six or some shit.
Yeah. Cause the rest of the films don't.
And it's like the actual actor from like the, you know, the first two.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, from the first two. Yeah. That'd make kind of sense. Cause I think the third one
is his age. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a year apart and R and RL, but I think the movie is like a couple of years or something. So that's funny. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So that's a summation of Child's Play 3. I know I skipped a bunch of stuff, obviously, but I was trying to summarize as best as I can. I don't know. Ellie, thoughts?
Oh my gosh. My thoughts on Child's Play 3. I thought that it had a lot of fun moments, like a lot of good quotes from Chucky. I thought it was really creative that like they found a way for him to possess somebody other than Andy because that shit was getting old. you know, just him trying to navigate this horrible military school was kind of interesting.
But took it out of the house, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone likes stuff when they take it out of the house, even when it's like a show.
Yeah.
And they do a whole like episode where they're at a beach or something.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new thing. Yes. That's how this was. They took it out of, you know, being at a house and him trying to be with the family or something like that. You know what I mean? He's like in a whole other thing, a whole new group of victims.
Yes.
It's cool.
It was cool. And like, I think that they did end it strong with the carnival. I thought that was really good. Thought that was cool. And it is known amongst many at this point. I do not think Chucky is scary whatsoever. He is a little punk. He is not like
you would just kick him across the yard.
I would just kick him across the yard, put my little hand on his forehead and just hold him there. You know, like it's not hard to fight off Chucky unless you're Tyler. Like unless you are a very, very small child, then, you know, Chucky's not scary.
Then it's even.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I do think that the Chucky movies do a good job of making a not scary situation whatsoever very fun to watch. Like, and there is lots of like goofy, fun wisecracks from Chucky. There's always like really gross, nasty stuff that's kind of fun to watch, like when he falls into the fan blades, you know. I think Chucky 3 rounded it out nicely. Maybe not my favorite. I think 2 is my favorite, but I think it was a good rounding out of the Andy saga.
You know, when you talk about, you know, him not really holding up offensively. I was thinking about it when you were saying that. I was like, you know, you're
he's
right.
Just mad he's, buns.
He's just all defense, dude.
Yes.
That just goes to show, you know, the best offense, best defense.
Oh, man.
So it's just all like, yeah, it may take him a whole minute before he finally gets to your bed when you're asleep. But he'll get there because he acted like he was a doll the whole week.
That's
and everyone
true.
Said, you're fucking crazy because dolls don't be killing people. So shut up. And he's just sitting on the couch with a smile on his face. And at the right time, he can just get up with a knife and then come get you. But the thing is, when he finally comes to do that, yeah, you can kick him across the yard. But it's just, that's not the plan. You know what I mean? He's going to make some fall on you or get someone else against you by sabotaging them or, you know, crazy conniving shit. It makes you wonder at the same time, what kind of killer was he? Was he that type of guy when he killed people? Or would they ever do a prequel where he's Charles Lee Ray?
Whoa.
And then he does Chucky type shit when he was them. It's like, oh, well, that's where that shit comes from.
That is kind of one of the things I feel like has always been a thing I kind of wish the series would do, which is, first of all, like Charles Lee Ray is like a total white dude. But then he knows all this voodoo stuff. So I kind of feel
wild
like...
wild, too. That didn't
like,
make any sense.
Yeah. Like, to me, it's like, that's kind of a fun idea. And I'm like, well, did he get into voodoo because he wanted to, like, have magic powers that allowed him to do doll possession? Or, like, what was his fall into that?
But even
and
then, like, it seems too close-minded to go...
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I kind of like the character of Charles E. Ray and would like to know more about him. Obviously, like, it's one of those things where, like, maybe... I'm saying that as a fan of these movies, but like if they actually ever did it, it'd be terrible, you know, where it's like they explain like, it's like the prequels are like, I don't care about Vader's origins, but you know, whatever. It's one of those things where like, to me, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a really interesting character overall. Chucky is and Charles Lee Ray himself. It's like this dude's got some kind of things that we're never told about that just kind of like are part of the story, but we don't know like, why is he super into voodoo? What's up with his paintings at his apartment? Did he do that?
They never even said he's from like, New Orleans.
Yeah, they don't say that. Like, it's obviously New York or something like that.
Yes, that accent.
Yeah, he's obviously...
I just meant being into voodoo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Just like, give him something, you know, give him something.
That's for my New Orleans listeners. So yeah, but my point is like, that's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, yeah, actually I'm surprised they've never done a prequel where it's like, oh, the Charles Lee Ray Lakeshore Strangler killer film. Maybe because they're like aren't they doing a TV show now or something? Or like they're doing like a whole thing and there's the cult of Chucky. Play? Yeah. I thought so. They're doing like other stuff. Cause I know this is a 2019 movie, which you've seen at this point.
Yeah.
But I think they're doing another movie or something that is a Child's Play Chucky thing. That's not related to that. They're like having a DVR, like just like with other stuff that's going on right now. They're like now splitting up into these like other timelines, other whatever. It's like, come on guys. That's just like, I think there's a lot of potential there. That is just kind of interesting. Again, like when you watch the first one, his paintings in his apartment are like wild. It's like, what the fuck? You know, like they never explain it. They don't even talk about it. It's just like casually in the background. They're like, oh yeah, this wild ass paintings of him like riding a serpent in hell or something.
Hell yeah.
Naked. Yeah. So set two is definitely my favorite of the series that we've seen so far. Part one, two, and three. I do like the third one a lot actually though. Cause like, these are all pretty fun movies. It is funny because I think people overall look down on three, which is kind of funny to me. I guess because like the first one's like a serious horror film, even though it's like a killer doll film, whatever. And then second one is like the horror comedy kind of thing. The third one's got more horror comedy. But at this point, it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what people as a whole expect from the Child's Play series other than a killer doll who's like, whatever, kind of charismatic in a way. Yeah, I do love this movie. I think it's pretty fun. And I think, especially if you watch them all back to back, it's an interesting, like a sample of what was horror at the time.
Oh, sure.
Because there's definitely like very 80s horror going on in like the first one, with kind of gritty, you know, obviously made on a very small budget, but it's fun. Second one was like, okay, well now we're going to dump a bunch of money in this thing because it's now we're in the 90s and we're going to like franchise things now.
You got a cop involved in it.
Too. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Definitely that timeline.
Yeah.
Like you said, it might have been around RoboCop too. So,
yeah.
You always have to have that cop thing and the relationship.
Right.
Like,
and then some kind of like message in there that's like kind of subtle, but it's there. Not super subtle, but it's there. And then the third one, where at this point it's like, okay, now it's a franchise and like we're going to do these forever as much as we can make money off them. So we're just going to, oh, now he's in the military or something. So yeah, I love two. Two is definitely my favorite of the three we've seen, but I do like three a lot. I actually think it may be close to it is my second favorite of these movies, because there are parts in the first one that are pretty boring, I'm not going to lie. But I liked them, you know, they're great. Barry? I know you've got tons of notes there.
As far as one and three, I mean, one through three, which are more important ones out of them for sure. Three is definitely my favorite one. It just always has. Because like I said, main thing is like getting it out of the house, doing something different. It's tight, dude. And just getting, you know, it's just another stuff to poke fun of, or for Chucky to poke fun of. So that's great. And the whole thing with switching it up and not trying to get an ending. So at this point, after the second one, you're like, okay, don't try to go to Andy. I'm like, that's two strikes, bro.
You know, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Figure something else out. Get in a dog or something. You know what I mean? Just something other than Andy. Because, I mean, if you can't win against a 6-year-old, you need to figure something else out. So then, you know, I mean, and I'll even knock him for trying the third time. He's like, you know, screw it. Let's do this. But then at the first, you know, stopper, you know, this is Andy. Well, fuck it. Lay down, you know. That's cool. You know, I get that. And then, you know, Chucky's also, you know, he's a strangler. So he's trying to close up some loose ends. Got to take care of the old Andy. Tries to do that. Screw it. Can't do it. But I don't know. It's got to be a way to just get out of that body.
Yeah.
Which he's always trying to do. And it's just, don't do that. And, you know, and then, like I said, it switches up after the third one. So he's not always trying to do that anymore, and Andy's really not even involved. He's more cameos and stuff at that point after the series. But I like 1, 2, and I like 3. 3 is my favorite. I like everything about the series, really. That's why I wanted to do this episode, make it one of the first ones or whatever, because it's just great. I mean, that's the best thing about you know, anything that deserves a threequel like this one does, is that there's enough stuff there for it to do.
Yes.
And if it's just another movie that we hear Chucky say some dumb, absurd, offensive shit, then I'm down. And that's why I watched the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, and the new one. Anytime there's some crazy stuff.
Heck yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, they are just like, they are fun. They make it fun. And like, it is like fun to listen to all the crazy shit Chucky has to say.
Well, here's what I find interesting, because I just looked at the Child's Play franchise as a whole. And again, it's like, so we've got the first one, 88, second one, 90, and then the third one, 91. And I remember actually when this came out, Bride of Chucky, which didn't come out until 98. Mm-hmm. So that's like a big 6-7 year difference or something like that, or 6 year difference. So
mean they had something else they were making money on.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting to me, because it's like Bride of Chucky comes out, so that's 98, so like middle school, high school, later elementary for some people. But I remember it coming out and being like, okay, I'm gonna check it out. I don't think I had really any thoughts about it because of the time, because I was a kid still. But then you got Seed of Chucky in 2004, so like another 6-7 years for this movie to come out.
That was definitely on the downfall of how it all goes from there.
Yeah. And that's what's so interesting, because then you got Curse of Chucky 2013. So almost a decade later.
Is almost like, people don't act like that's not its own movie on its own.
Yeah.
That's almost like a reboot type thing.
Really?
But with just like a cameo thing at the end that ties it all back together or whatever. Yeah, but it's almost his own thing. I don't think he even talks like in that movie or something, or he doesn't play like Charles Lee Ray or something about that. I haven't seen that one in a long time, but it's definitely, it's its own movie. And then that's the one where you're wondering, it's like, does this really tie into the other ones?
Yeah.
And then like Andy's at the end, you know what I mean? Like the actual one.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, Andy's exactly. At the end. Yeah. And then the Cult of Chucky, which came out like about roughly 2 years ago, I think at this point. And I think that one's, I've heard people have liked that one, but I don't know. It's been kind of mixed for the most part. And then now we've got our reboot of Chucky in 2019. So I think this has been an interesting, like, the series as a whole has almost kind of gone through the ringer of horror movies in general, where it's like, you've got your origin that everyone kind of loves or becomes a cult classic in some way. Then you've got your sequels that then just go downhill. some of them pretty fast, some of them slowly. And then you've got your kind of reboot at some point in the 2000s or something, just to like dip your toe in the water, see if people actually still care about this franchise. It follows
everything else that's happened. You look at those years.
Yeah.
That's the type of shit they're pushing out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what the I'm first saying. One, that's the shit.
Second one,
that's the type of shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the fucking curse.
That's that shit.
And the bride stuff.
Yeah.
That's the corny ass stupid shit they were putting out.
Yeah, dude. By then they were like, okay, it's just straight up horror comedy kind of thing. By this point, we're not trying to be a real
comic. He's having babies.
Yeah, exactly. Having real baby doll, baby dolls
are having baby dolls.
I don't think I've seen anything after Bride. And even then I can tell you, like, I think I mostly just watched Bride because who is it? Jennifer Tilly?
Yeah.
Jennifer Tilly. I was like, oh yeah, Jennifer Tilly. I love Jennifer Tilly. Why not?
And she's just like in all of them after that.
Yeah. It's like,
in some form.
In some form. Why not?
Even Jennifer in Tilly. Cult. Yeah. Even in Cult. Cause she's behind it. She's like, so I guess, I don't know
Go if they ahead, use her
because of that, but it's just kind of like, seems like she's convenient character because he has, like, it's like his Igor or Ario or whatever, what are you calling that guy?
Igor?
Works for Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein?
Yeah, Igor.
Igor, yeah. So
he's
like,
Igor?
Yeah, she's like the Igor of him, you know? She's like, well, he wants me to do this, so I'm going to go drive him over here. Or she's like the one shipping him. It's not in the third one, but
yeah.
She's like shipping him to these things. And you find out sometimes it'll just be like a cameo thing, especially in Cult. She's like the big part of him. She's finding stuff out and talking to him and driving him places and delivering him and things like that. And that's kind of where they go with that. That's where Andy kind of comes back. If you kind of had to place it, in my opinion, I'd probably say like Cult. You could do 1, 2, 3 and then Cult.
Cool.
Yeah. And kind of pick up where it goes, you know, and just know that there's a time gap, of course.
Yeah.
Because he goes from however age he is in 3, which is probably like 15. And then he jumps to like, you know, 38 or something like that in Cult. But Cult's a trip, man. I know we're really talking about that one, but that one's nuts. And I guess if he ever had any type of powers, to me, from what I can remember, is Cult would be it, because we were talking about, you know, he's not very scary because he's not working with nothing but some rubber arms and some little tiny shoes. So what the fuck is he going to do in a bad wig? It would be Cult, because they unlock or I guess he finally realizes like he can do it, or he's been brushing up on his black magic or whatever all these years, but he's able to make more of him. He can take other Chucky dolls or whatever, or child, what do we call these? Good guys.
Good guy dolls
and but he's put in like, they don't really explain it, especially at this point, because it's definitely made for Hollywood Video at this point. He's like putting pieces of his soul, or like clones of his soul, inside of these other dolls. So now he's got, it makes the show cool. That's one of the cooler movies toward the end compared to the other ones after 3. Because he's putting his soul, or he's doing whatever it is. He's making more Charles Lee Ray Chucky dolls, right?
Yeah.
And they're all funny because they're bantering between each other. So if you really miss that, which, like I said, we did, because like I said, I don't even remember him talking in, what'd you call that one? Return of?
Hold on. Let me pull out the filmography again.
Whatever that one was.
It's Curse of Chucky.
Yeah, what a curse or whatever. This really makes up for it, because now you got like 6 Chuckies. Like arguing with each other, and one has like a bad haircut because like Andy does this thing where he like sends a Chucky to the insane asylum to help him out because he's going to go there and get locked away. And he knows he's going to come for him and hit like a gun inside of him or something crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he cut his hair to know which one he was. And he looks like one of those white grandmas at Walmart, you know, like the short hair that's all fucked up looking or whatever. So he comes and does that. It's actually pretty funny, but it's like, it's just so weird because he finds out because he has a Chucky and it's like a head, like, and he keeps it in a safe.
What?
And it's got like, and he just fucks with it. Like he like drinks a beer and smokes a J and just like hits him with a nail gun while he's looking at him and Chucky's like screaming or whatever. And, but somehow he created another one and Andy didn't know. And he just has one of them, you know?
Shit.
So he's still, and that's why Andy's like, I'm back in the game. You know, I gotta go, save them or whatever. And finds out what's happened. Something like that. I don't remember, but I just remember he smokes weed with Chucky. Cause like, so he's like smoking and drinking and then like hitting him with a nail gun. He's like, he's like, hey, let me get a hit of that. And then now he's smoking weed with a head of Chucky. That's where we're at. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's nice.
That's what's going on on like the 7th one. Or whatever. And I think they knocked that out pretty early. So you know what you're messing with. in this movie. And it's ridiculous. And it ends with him like finally possessing someone that he sought after replacing. Because I guess that character was from Curse and I don't remember it, or it was something that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But he had his whole eyes on a whole another character. Because it was supposedly he killed this girl's whole family in something. I don't know if that was in Curse or something else, but so he's still going after her. So I guess he's stuck on, once he picks someone, then he's just going to ride that for a while.
He's very possessed. Like, what's the word? Maybe he's a Taurus. He's very focused on one thing and gets possessed with one thing.
Well, and he does do it. He finally does it. That's how it ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he gets inside of her, and then she like adopts his whole little physical persona of the hair.
Where
he looks like Winter Soldier cosplaying Tommy Wiseau and trench coat. And she has like the walk and everything like that. And then Jennifer Tilly comes and picks him up. He's all like, yeah, I'm gonna like this body and stuff, but like as the girl.
Yeah.
And they like drive off. Oh yeah. They drive off and they're like, well, how do I fuck this like even more? And then the bride of doll is in the back. Huh. So apparently she can do that shit too. She can have a body and then put her soul in another doll. So even if he wanted to, does that mean that he could then as that?
So he's basically immortal at this point.
Yeah. So it's like, where do you go?
Yeah.
You reboot it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You make the movie I just watched the other day. And
awesome.
And so that's pretty wild. So if you're wondering how we did, and I don't know if this is, I'm fucking up the whole episode thing, mentioning Scream or whatever, but we bring it up in Scream about saying, you know, what would you do? Would you make I know this is more of an end type deal. We have a lot more to say, but let's talk about this part.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you'd rebooted or have a sequel and it's just like, and if you're calling the last one being Cult of, it's like, no, what the fuck are you going to do? He's a girl and he could just like go into a toy store right now by now, but the way they have it set up and the logic they're using now and this whole little, rules they came up with, you can just be like, all right, this G.I. Joe is now me done. And then you got like a little G.I. Joe telling everyone to fuck themselves with a knife. And then you do the same thing with a Teddy Ruxpin and you just keep going around doing that. It's like, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Yeah.
And he got what he want.
Yeah. Yeah. So he won.
He's in a body. You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess they try to, all those B-list movie producer guys were scratching their heads and like, we got nothing. He ruined it. They ruined it. Yep. The only you can do is have, let the real guys make a whole nother movie and put it in the theaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad they did, because, we're not going to talk about that movie yet, but I liked it a lot. So,
I mean, we can if you want. We have not seen it, so you feel free to talk about it if you want. But
yeah,
well, we don't always have a
not trying to spoil it.
Have a sit down again where we just talk about the reboot.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that.
All right, cool. But I guess it comes down to, would you make a sequel or a reboot? It sounds like you would do a reboot.
It'd be a reboot. Because I saw the reboot.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
You saw the reboot,
and it was better than I could ever think about doing any. Thing that I wouldn't change it one bit at all. I wish that was a lie. And I wish I could say the third one is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
And why are they ruining my childhood?
Yeah.
But they're not. It was really, really, really good.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Ellie, what would you do?
Well, Barry won me over. I'm on team reboot.
That's fair. I would probably do kind of a half and half, a soft reboot, I think was what they call it these days. The kids call it.
And how does that work?
So here's my approach. I would say, don't do another movie, do a TV show, and then do what we were talking about earlier, where the TV show season one is basically Charles E. Ray's story, him becoming the killer.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I might take mine back though.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. But just like, you could do a whole thing where like you've got 8 episodes on Netflix or something. It's like season one. It's like Charles E. Ray, murderer, blah, blah. And then it becomes like, then you've got your crime drama. You got crime drama.
With a little bit of magic in there.
Law and order. Yeah. You have like hints of voodoo and stuff. Maybe as the series goes on, he becomes more into like black magic. You got your crime drama with some like a little bit of like black magic in there. And as it goes on, becomes, more and more intense. End your season.
Season two. They'll do that in season two.
No, just like end your season one. End your season one exactly.
Christmas
like
special.
Actually, it could be a Christmas. End it like where the first film takes off. And then season two is going to take place like after the third movie or something. Where kind of like jumps ahead and you've like, you know this story. So we're not going to tell you again. We're just going to start over and then be kind of continuation a little bit. Maybe things set up in the first season and then play out in the second season. And then if depending on how it goes, you could have a third season, but a very limited TV run. I would stress that it would have to be very limited. Otherwise, people would like be like, come on, like end it already.
Well, out of sequel or remake or reboot or whatever we're saying, that would be, then I would say reboot.
Yeah.
But when I mean sequel, I meant after cult. So if I would say prequel. Oh, you know what? I would do reboot, but if I could do a prequel, then hell yeah. Because we're talking about that with Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah.
Or make it back then, just do, make or a guy dress up like him.
I think what's interesting is that we talk about, it's funny because we talk about the dolls, Chucky, but the Chucky is part of the good guy's toy line. And they never tell you what the hell else is in this toy line.
Yeah. Like,
they never show you other accessories.
Like,
what was this whole thing? Like, well, Chucky is supposed to be just one doll in the series of toys, right?
Well, its name is Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, right. Tommy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, where the flip is Tommy coming from? What weird kids TV show is this? Like,
yeah. Oh, that's right. Because there's a whole TV show in the first film.
Well, like there's like a commercial that they always play. It's like, hi, I'm Tommy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's friend. When that's like Tommy about
adventures.
They show all that when you're. You know, I don't know if they're supposed to make you hate Andy, but like what we were talking about earlier, so like we already don't like him. That's what he's like.
Yeah.
You know, he's fucking up the whole kitchen, you know, burning toast, pouring cereals, like the whole damn box in there with all the milk, which actually that cereal looks like it slams.
There's
like marshmallow guys that are like as big as like bigger than like Lego minifigs. Like, damn, dude, that looks good. It's got like every color involved in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes to the TV and he's watching that little ad that Ellie's talking about. And he goes over to it like, oh shit, Charles, you know, Tommy's on there. When he looks at it. And he listens to it for a little bit. He's like, I already seen this one. And my girlfriend makes fun of me for that because she always shows me memes that I've already seen. And I'm like, already seen it. She's like, okay, Andy.
Oh, damn. I'm like, calling you out.
Seen it. And goes back to burning the toast while his mom's asleep. Anyways, why were we talking about that? Just him being an asshole.
I'm just saying, like, there's like, I think it's interesting because.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, like the background of it or whatever.
It just feels like there's a lot of things in this universe that they built in the first couple of movies that they never touch on again. And from my feeling, not having seen the other films, I'll just say it, put it out there, seeing the other films, it feels like the focus just becomes like Chucky, the doll, and Charles Lee Ray's like whole trying to possess, which is fine. Like you've got to have like a simple thing, whatever that drives through, but it does seem like there's so much potential for like other little things they could do. I don't want to stress that. Of course I say that as someone who's like, understands
about doing a sequel or
in this universe, this franchise in general, with the understanding that of course people do get annoyed when you over explain things. And yes, I completely agree. Sometimes when you over explain some stuff, it's like really obnoxious, but I think there's potential. You could do things that are kind of fun. I'm not a writer, so I can tell you.
How about a prequel and it's his backstory about him, you know, being a strangler and all that. Mm-hmm. And then kind of dabbling in a little bit of voodoo.
Yeah.
With that old dude that he kills in the first one or whatever, something like that. Some background shit with that. Maybe he's in some cult or some weird thing, but thinks it's stupid. So he quits, but steals the book or something cool like that. You can run a whole season like that. And how about this? So think about the first one, and you brought it up. So this is all based off of just us talking
here. Yeah, yeah.
Is you said something about, like, in the first one, when he's about to die, he's like, you know, just like, I hate Eddie. I hate you. I'm going to kill all you. I'm going to kill Eddie's ass. I'm going to kill your ass. And who else is he trying to kill?
I have no idea.
Anyways, he's trying to kill him. He's like, if anything happens, you know what? This doll, I'm going to put my body in this doll. And it's just like so fast, right? It's like, how does that so, like, it's his first thought. You know what I mean? Before I do something like that, I got to think real hard about it. And, you know, it has to be like a real decision that I want to do. Mm-hmm. Not be a human anymore and be a tiny doll. But he does it real quick.
Yeah.
So how about in the prequel? He's done some shit like that before. Oh, and then he has come back, right? Because he's so sure that he could put his body inside this doll.
Oh.
And then just come back whenever he wants. No big deal.
Like maybe Charles Lee Ray wasn't his first lifetime.
Bam! Or maybe that whole Tommy Wiseau body that he's got right now isn't even him.
Right.
Maybe he's always jumping bodies, but it was so easy for him.
Yeah.
So it could be a whole show about that. Like he's chopping, he's jumping bodies.
Yeah.
Or he's been in other toys killing people. Or that's how he's been killing people this whole time. right?
Yeah.
He's a strangler. Yeah, they haven't caught him. He's so hard to catch because he's jumping bodies and jumping other inanimate objects. Oh, shit. Are y'all listening? Are the writers? We got producers listening to this? This is gold, dude.
You could even have him, let's say at the end of like, we'll at some point somehow comes across another doll that he possesses. And then it turns out that doll is the Jigsaw Killer doll.
No.
Now you've got a doll cinematic killer universe.
Now you're talking about Chucky 12, dude. I'm trying to bring it back, dude.
Now you've got a Chucky Colt, Child's Play, Saw, combine the franchise.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's some AVP shit.
Yeah.
Dude. Universe is Predator. Ruining the franchise.
And Jennifer Tilly possesses the Annabelle doll.
Producers don't.
The Conjuring.
I do not share the same views as Leroy. It's still on for my prequel.
Yeah.
Show just the links at the bottom. You can contact my email directly.
You have a killer doll cinematic universe. Anyways, okay, so I think we've talked
maybe about a video game, like a Marvel vs. Capcom.
There you go.
Okay,
killer dolls versus killer dolls.
Yeah, that would be really fun to play.
Actually, that would be a fun game. Yeah.
All right, video game developers, hit me up.
Link in bio.
Link in the bio.
Yeah, I think we're good. I don't know. Do we have anything else you want to add to Child's Play?
No.
Child's Play 3?
No.
We've done enough.
Man, I would say just something because I actually watched it again recently is the first one that I didn't even think about. It was when he gets the toy. He gets the, he doesn't get the toy. It was the first one when his mom, I think it's when, you know, he's burning down the kitchen and the mom wakes up. And she gives him, I think it's his birthday or something that's coming up.
Something like that.
There's a box and it spins sitting there. It's like the exact same shape as a Tommy or whatever. And a good guy doll. And has good guy wrapping paper and like everything. And she's like, open up your present. He's like, hell yeah. He opens up. There's one pair of fucking jeans in that box.
What?
Like it's like a super troll move from his mom. Opens it up. There's one tiny pair of jeans. He's all like disappointed or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, try them on. See if they fit and blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll take them back if they don't or whatever. Like that's fucked up, dude. And then he gets another present and then it's like just the accessories for it. And I've got, you know, that's like a grandma thing right there. It's like, you said you wanted a good guy. It's like, what? This is just the workshop set. You know what I mean? This ain't the thing. Now I gotta get the thing.
Or like it's Christmas and your parents accidentally give you that one before the actual doll.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, oh shit.
Or you open it first and then you see the, that would have been even more troll if you opened that one first. Mm-hmm. Because then he's like, that's for sure, for sure. And there's just a pair of tiny little blue jeans. Right? So I was thinking about that always. But then there's another part that I missed where so when she does get him the good guy doll, it's wrapped up in just like some brown paper from the department store that she works at or whatever. And it's and she doesn't unveil it until they get back to the apartment. So you're thinking, you know, what did he think that was the whole time or whatever?
Yeah.
So when they get inside, I missed the part where she says, hey, open up the box. It's not groceries. And then at first I thought, the fuck, why would it be groceries? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a like, wrapped box. Wrapped? But the thing is, Andy's like, this bitch is crazy, dude. She'll put a pair of little tiny blue jeans in a 3x6 box. He's not surprised if there's three apples in that fucking box. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's so funny because that's the way she is that I wouldn't be any other kid with any other mom would be all like, I know it's in that box. You know what I mean? The whole way home. But with her, it's like that seriously could be like a cantaloupe and a pack of cheese. You know
she's
what I mean?
She's actually like the mom from Babadook.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like her first family.
Man, I just hope they eventually make two more Babadooks. Talk about
Babadook 2 and 3.
Yeah.
At least has to be a prequel to Babadook.
That'd be interesting. Anyways, that said, I think we're good. I think we're good on Child's Play.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll
have to come back and either attach to this one or do a different thing and talk about the
we'll have a little like grab get together and talk about the remake at some point.
Heck yeah.
It's like at this point funny because it's almost out of theaters. So it may be pretty soon.
It'll be in the affordable theaters by the time.
There you go. Woo-hoo. Affordable. I like that.
Affordable theaters.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I think it was good. Thank you.